I have to show you guys something. So everybody, please look at my screen.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got a new chair. I got a new chair. It's so comfy. And look. Wait. It gets better. Check this out. Hold on.
Did you get it from like and subscribe peoples?
It lays all the way back. I have so much more room for activity.
Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast with your host, Super Beard Vince Hoover, and his co-host, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson, a podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 13. Yeah, it is episode 13, The Baker's Dozen. Of Two Geeks and a New Podcast. Before I introduce everybody, I do want to talk about something really quick. We have Screen Geek, which is the company that I'm a senior writer for, and you can get your best news about all the upcoming comic book movies and whatnot, is giving a giveaway. So if you go over to their Twitter account and you follow them and retweet the tweet that I show you on the screen, just find that tweet, you can win your choice of either the Thanos Infinity Gauntlet 1-to-1 scale, or the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet 1-to-1 scale to have in your home. So please go and do that. And also, like and subscribe is here, because we are live on Twitch right now. And for those who are going to be watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know every time that we jump on here. And before we talk about What If, I have to show you guys something. So everybody, please look at my screen.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got a new chair. It's so comfy. And look. Wait. It gets better. Check this out. Hold on.
Did you get it from like and subscribe peoples?
It lays all the way back. I have so much more room for activity.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
So much.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
I'm so excited for you and all the new activities you can do with your chair.
Like
on
sleep.
Your chair.
Oh, wow.
It lays 180 degrees flat. I can straight up nap on this thing. I'm so happy. So if you're watching this on TikTok, because I have my TikTok live up, you can see my whiteboard with the link to go to Twitch. You can comment and chat. Future, thank you so much for showing up. And thank you for the chair compliment. I appreciate it. Because the chair is sweet.
I am very jealous. I need one of those.
They're amazing. And apparently, if you order it from Amazon and it doesn't show up, you get it for free. Not that I'm saying try that, but whatever.
Ask the Watcher. Maybe he will manifest that for everybody.
So, speaking of the Watcher, Monster Caesar, thank you so much as well. Yes, chair upgrades are awesome, guys. I love the chat so much. I love interacting with you guys. You guys are awesome. But we are going to talk episode 5 of The Watcher. Before we do that, let's say hi to everybody, starting with to my left, your right on screen, my left on screen. You know what? She's right there. You know who it is. It's Lily. Say hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Wait, no, you don't know who it is because nobody's names are up. Oh, I'm a horrible, horrible host. I am terrible. I do. So
there
Lily,
it is.
Say
Tell
hi.
Everybody how to find you. Hi. How do we find you?
Where do you find me? TikTok.
Yes.
You can find me on TikTok at Lily_notTheFlower. On Instagram, I am LillianCassidy.official. And that's pretty much it for now. Hoping to change that in the near future. But yeah.
So Vince told me that while he's trying to figure stuff out, you
I'm
are
done,
most
I got it.
Well known for like whenever you like ran out on screen and was calling Marvel out and like ripping your face off pretty much.
Nope, wrong person.
That was not the right person.
That was Amanda.
What does Lily do? Tell me about Lily. What does she do?
Lily is just awesome. She had a question. She had a noob question. On TikTok, and I answered it, and that's how we met.
Well, her hair is awesome.
Yes.
Thanks. I'll take the shame. I'll take the insult. What do you actually do?
What do I?
Internet
I'm a noob,
famous.
So that's a shame. So what do you do?
I got internet famous by posting a video asking men what it is that they like so much about the sundresses. And I caught a little traction in the summer with nerdy stuff, and that's how I met Vince. So
nice.
Other than that, I'm just me.
That's awesome.
Whoever that is.
Be you. So. I like it.
Speaking of being you, Denise, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I loved this episode. Can I just like put it out there right away? Wingardium Leviosa. That was my most favorite part of this episode. I absolutely loved it.
Yep.
And yes, of was, course. Yeah. Okay.
And yeah. Q, welcome, my man. How are you doing? You're muted. So we have no idea how he's doing.
Hey, everybody. Hey. We're totally professionals here.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a so, tight-knit ship. Tight-knit yeah. ship. Tight run
tight knit ship.
God,
this shit's on chain. It's on the chain. All right, it's not off yet. So no, this was a pretty fun episode. I love Scott continuously, you know, just firing the puns. It was just, you know, I didn't have any break in between the puns. It was a good laugh.
It was
really good. I actually, part of me had a slight issue with the puns. Because they felt a little out of place at sometimes, like it hurt the momentum of the story at certain times. But I did love that it was Paul Rudd. Everybody was back doing their voice except Tom Holland. Tom Holland was not there. I don't know why, but I do believe at the time they were recording this might have been that time when Sony and Disney had that spat over rights and weren't going to work together again. That was like a six month period where they were fighting like two bitter old people over chess or something.
COVID, maybe, who knows?
Yeah, so it was, well, I think most of the voice stuff was recorded before COVID.
Cool.
So there's that. But so this was it, man. We got our Marvel Zombies episode, man, and I was excited.
Yeah.
I'm not a big zombie person. I think zombies got played out a lot over time. I've never watched Walking Dead because by the time it started there had already been 700 zombie movies and I was worn out. But I do love the Marvel Zombies comic. It's a really good series, and they actually do a very good job of translating it from the comic to the cartoon while still keeping it MCU adjacent. They did a really good job with that. I would like to mention Future commented, why did Spider-Man look like Andrew Garfield? I think it's because most of the animation in this they have not nailed what somebody looks like. Nobody really looked like.
I don't think he really looked like it. I mean, I think like maybe a combination of the two. I don't really see like he absolutely looked like Andrew Garfield.
No, it was very much like the Mark Ruffalo and Edward Norton had a love child, right. And that's the
combination.
The closest one we've had was Doctor Strange. He looked almost exactly like Benedict Cumberbatch, but that's because Benedict Cumberbatch is a human walking caricature.
Yeah.
Well, also, they did a really good job on Wong, like Zombie Wong. That was awesome.
yeah, Zombie Wong was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the basis of this episode was we had a zombie outbreak and the heroes got bit. And if your heroes get bit, that's it. We're done. It's getting transmitted. Now, the difference is in the comics, it was Sentry, who is a Superman analogy in Marvel. So a Superman level hero came from outer space with the disease and he infected the world and the Avengers tried to stop them. Obviously they got infected and it spread that way. In this, it's Janet Van Dyne got a quantum virus and spread it. So there's some differences in the stories here, but it was still really, really, really good. Seeing just the zombies, we saw where most of the normal human zombies were very much your prototypical mindless zombies.
Yeah.
The heroes, because they're, you know, metahumans for the most part, they're actually able to retain
their some level of intellect. Yeah.
In the comics, they kept their full intellect. Like they're able to speak there was a thing called the hunger and they just couldn't help it. And in this, they're all grunting. They're all very zombie in that sense, but they you know, obviously Iron Man and Doctor Strange worked together in the beginning, which also tells me that had Doctor Strange and Iron Man been a zombie in Infinity War, we never would have had the snap. Because they just kicked Ebony Maw's and Cull Obsidian's ass. Like, real quick. They put them to bed.
Yeah, so, they did.
Denise, Lily, you guys, like I said, you're not big into the comics, but you are familiar with these characters. So what was it like seeing them in this capacity?
Denise, you want to go first?
Go ahead.
What happens when you put two people who are too nice together in a room?
Yeah, I know, right?
Do I need to pick?
You want
to
play paper, rock, scissors?
I'll go.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was really nitpicky with this. So I love seeing the Avengers as zombies, but I also hated it. I was really nitpicky with, like, I always go with the science behind stuff. How does it really work? The suspension of disbelief for me in this one, I was just like, zombies. Whatever sort of a thing. And you have a lot of moments with the action where I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. What's her face? I'm so sorry that I forgot her name. The niece to Peggy.
Oh, Carter. Sharon Carter.
Sharon, yeah, thank you.
I have things to say there, but go on.
Yeah, so just one moment in particular that pissed me off is when she gets an arrow to the shoulder, which would really freaking hurt.
Yeah.
And then later it seems totally fine, like arm, no issue whatsoever. Happy's glove on the other hand. And I was just like, okay, well, yeah, we don't see her die, but like, why don't we see her in a lot of pain after that? There's so much gore in this episode. We don't have any blood on her shoulder or like anything. Hmm. But one sad moment was Happy dying. Just that hit me in the gut.
Yeah. That I wasn't happy about that. Ha ha ha. Jesus. So
and the puns continue.
They're never going to stop. So my issue with Sharon was just seeing her in a heroic role, because I'm still pissed at the twist from Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yeah, because it makes no sense.
You're still mad.
So I'm still right. I hold grudges. I hold grudges. So what?
Well, maybe she's not. Maybe she's not the broker of this. In this particular.
Well, no, she's not.
What if?
Because this is. Well, remember, this is before the snap.
Yes.
So this is before she would have been abandoned and not gotten her pardon, even though she was a super spy who went into hiding, and I'm using air quotes too much.
Appreciate the episode for what it was.
I don't expect anybody else to have that same gripe. That was purely on me, but I did write it down because screw
you. Of course you did. I totally knew that you were going to say something.
Wasn't happy.
Yeah. There was some cool things. Like, we got Scott Lang's head.
Oh my God, no, stop. Anyway.
Full on Futurama style.
That was really, really, really cool.
Okay, whoa. I'll go back to the, there's
a keyboard.
You want to see my keyboard? Oh, you want to see something else really cool? Look,
pretty.
It lifts up.
Pretty.
You can lift
look
it
at
up.
That.
I have that too.
That's a keyboard condom.
I like it.
I've got the same color.
Hey, look at that.
Keyboard condom.
See what's happened?
Protect your keyboard.
And then Q and I are over here raw dogging our keyboards. Jesus. I can't lift.
We have actually, some colors.
I can't. I can lift my. Can I? Can you?
Keyboard
nope.
condom.
I got too many,
can
too many
we,
wires.
Can we? Can
too many
we,
wires. Too many wires. Yeah. I can't lift mine. But mine's mine's got red lights, so it's like a red light district. I gotta go.
Bring your rubbers, kids.
Yeah.
If you're in England, that's an eraser. and that's why you hear 9-year-olds asking for rubbers because they've made mistakes.
God.
Which, by the
way, hilarious.
In America, if you ask for a rubber after making a mistake, you're doing it backwards. anyways,
ask my son; he'll know.
Oh, God, for a minute there, I was thinking Brandon. I'm like, wait, no. What?
No, sorry. No,
okay, sorry. Anyways, that's right, Grandma. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
My first baby.
There are so many more comments about to come out of my mouth. Yeah. I'm going to stop now.
Anyway, let's go back to the episode.
So going back to the episode, future let's go to my head. Notes. Let's go to my notes because we're structured and we're on point. So this takes place right at the beginning of what would be Infinity War. So the Watcher didn't really have he didn't show up. He was in the very beginning and that was it. So he kind of took a step back. But then again, I don't blame him. You saw how much he was in the last episode. His physical body was there.
Yeah.
His physical body was there. So his physical body could be turned into a zombie had he showed up in the Marvel Zombie one. So I don't blame him for like, you know what? I'm going to watch from over here. I'll be out here.
Way the hell back here.
I think like he would have been like Vision. Like Vision said, like he can't be turned into a zombie. And but also,
the Watcher is biological. They are biological. Humanoid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so in the comics.
They are not androids.
Yeah. So in the comics, what happens is that, as the superheroes have the hunger and they're spreading the virus, Silver Surfer shows up and says, just so you know, Galactus is coming to eat your world. But the heroes went, nope, and they ate the Silver Surfer, and then they gained the power cosmic, so now you had cosmic zombies who then in turn ate Galactus.
Celestial.
Yeah, a celestial god-level being. So no, the Watcher is not safe. So I don't blame him for being like, I'm out. We did get, so we know that, again, this came from the Quantum Realm. It was Janet Van Dyne. Again, Hank Pym is an asshole.
Yes. Really started once all this. Again, like I had said in the previous episode, is, you know, he is not a good guy. And there's been many a times where it has shown that.
Yeah, but I liked what they said, that everything that came from love and passion or whatever they said, like anything from love and hope, like it turned out to be a bad thing.
They mostly met with Vision and Wanda.
But then they showed Hank Pym after they said that.
Well, that was because Hope and Janet are both gone. We got a wonderful, you guys remember the movie Zombieland with Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes.
We got a wonderful Zombieland kind of montage of the rules of zombies from Spider-Man. Yep. I thought that was kind of cool. You guys, of course, we got Happy. He had the Stark emergency gauntlet that the one that Tony used in Civil War when Bucky started to escape. And again, I just like, I love the animation. What did he say?
He just kept saying it wasn't pew pew, but it was
blam blam
blam blam. Blam.
Like, but he's in a process of getting like attacked by a zombie Hawkeye, and he was still yelling blam blam as he ran into the dark.
That's so happy, isn't it? It's just so happy.
Yeah, that was good.
Also, but it made me angry when Sharon Carter said it too. I'm like, no, don't use his freaking word. You're killing him. Why are you saying his word?
She's not allowed to say anything.
No, she's not. And I knew you would be so upset about that. I knew.
I literally wrote it's right here in my notes, right here in the middle. Am I the only one not happy to see a heroic Sharon Carter?
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
Used her in the wrong way. Anyway, this one, back to this episode.
I will say this episode reminded me a little bit of the very first episode because it was very quippy, almost too much so. And like we had the like Bucky was like, I guess this is the end of the line, which is that line, I'll be with you to the end of the line. You know, they've said it to each other multiple times. And then he cuts him in half with the shield and said, I guess this is the end of the line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of like, oh. But there was a lot to it. There was a, you know, I think as funny as Paul Rudd was, it felt really out of place. And then they kept explaining why he was saying quips over and over again, because that was how he dealt with trauma. And I'm like, well, you didn't need to do that. That kind of, that might be why it pulled me out. It's because explaining why he was being funny instead of just letting him be funny.
That whole scene I felt was, it had its pacing issues anyway, how they, the back and forth between seeing zombie Wanda and everything going on with in the conversation with Vision, I was like, this could have been done a little bit better. Again, sorry, I'm being nitpicky, but
And then we just have another moment where it's like, right, love, fucking love, ruining everything for everyone. Cool. Vision should know better. I was really frustrated with the choice to have him, you know, lure people to their death for the sake of keeping Wanda alive. Like,
yeah,
that feels out of his character for me. I understand if people are like, no, but it's
fucking that's not love. The same Vision who could hold Mjolnir is what you're saying. Yeah, and that's key.
Maybe I just like have a noob moment with everything that you guys are saying. This was supposed to be fun. This was like zombies, and you guys are like really wee, like just have fun with it. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to say like I actually disagree with that. I could see Vision doing that.
Because they even said Wingardium Leviosa, like ever Harry Potter come into Marvel ever. It's supposed to be fun. Have fun.
Yeah.
Watch the movie and have fun. Yeah. Or watch the episode and have fun.
No, I get that. And like I said, for me it was like the Vision, like we saw this moment in the Civil War when he accidentally shot Rhodey out of the sky and paralyzed him, and it's because he had a moment of lapse because of Wanda. So
right.
It does make sense to me that he would do this kind of thing, that he would be this quote unquote illogical. This was actually a parallel from the comic. In the comic, it was actually Hank Pym keeping Janet Van Dyne alive. Now in the comics, Janet Van Dyne was never lost in the quantum realm. She is Wasp, not her daughter Hope. So Hank Pym kept basically butchering Black Panther to feed Janet Van Dyne. But going back to the fact that Hank Pym is an asshole, once Janet found out what he was doing, she got mad at him. He then went giant size and bit her head off. She ended up being the head in the jar.
Yes. Not Scott that Lang. Was right. Yeah. She was.
It also turned out in the comics. And now I have a feeling we're going to get more zombie episodes because of how this ended, but we're not there yet. But in the comics, it turned out the hunger was not so much a virus. It was more of a mental health issue. Once you got bit and got it in your head that you had this hunger, that's how the hunger kept going. Yes, it was transmitted through saliva via bites and blood, but it could be, you could fight it and you could actually wane yourself from the hunger and cure yourself. But we know that there's going to be a cure. It almost had like a, you guys remember the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the film, you know, there's people going to like a safe haven with a disc with the cure that he finally came up with. And that's how the movie ends. That's kind of how this ended. It's like, we have a cure, but we don't get to see him use it. Ow. That was my elbow. Weirdly enough, the Hulk was immune. Like, he couldn't be bit, but in the comics, like, he's straight up gone. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what Denise is saying about, you know, it's all meant to be fun. It was certainly entertaining for me. But again, it's just like little things like that where you wonder, like, why isn't the Hulk a zombie? The biggest one for me was how slowly Hope was dying. Like, come on, she should be a zombie by now. You kidding? You're really milking this for the show? Okay. Sort of a thing. So I see both sides.
Yeah, the zombie change was very different every time. Like when Ebony Maw and Cole Obsidian, who are, you know, Thanos level beings, they turned like
immediately.
That. But then you had others like Sharon, her turn wasn't immediate. It took like 30, 45 seconds before she started to turn. But then you had like you said with Hope, she had a cut and she exploded, which, by the way, seeing Sharon Carter explode from the inside out.
Personally, that's Sharon all over me.
Personally, best scene in the show.
of course you would think that.
Of course.
And the thing is, I actually really love that character. I just think Marvel did her dirty. But anyways. Yeah, so the transition, because Sharon's a normal person. She's just a normal person. Hope is actually a normal person. Her powers come from a suit. They don't come from inside her.
Right.
So she should have changed at the same level. You know, so there could be a, you know, there could be some things about it. Again, I really do feel we're going to get another episode because this ends with them heading to Wakanda, the only safe haven. But is it safe?
I don't know.
That ending was a little weird. But also, we got, at the very end, we got a zombie Thanos with an Infinity Gauntlet missing only the Mind Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So he is headed to Wakanda, too. So will we get
this? Don't come in yet.
Okay, I won't.
No. Am I not muted?
No, you're not.
And my thing is not working then. Sorry. Somebody was going to come in. My bad. I was talking about don't turn on the suit yet. Don't come in yet.
Yeah.
We're still fighting it. Okay, sorry.
I heard something during the after show. I jumped into the after show way late last night for the Key show. And I had to jump back out because the first thing I heard was that people were already doing thirst trap videos for a zombie Thanos and for Bucky in the shower from the
video.
Oh my God.
I wasn't going to say it, but because you brought it up, I just, Bucky was hot in this episode. Hot.
You know, people used to give me shit when I was a kid and I said that Chitara from Thundercats was hot, and now grown-ass adults are thirsting over an animated Bucky. All right, just keep that in mind. Seriously, though, like...
You're surprised? We've had anime for how long now, you're surprised?
Yeah.
Blurry genitals! That's a callback. I don't know if we're going to get the other half of this episode. This, obviously, it was just half an episode. This story is not done. It was left. This is the biggest cliffhanger it's actually the only real cliffhanger we've gotten in the series so far. Every other episode has wrapped up for the most part. Maybe the last episode didn't wrap up completely, and that's only because we know we're going to see this Dr. Stranger Danger later on.
Dr. Stranger Danger.
But, this one was a huge cliffhanger. So will we get this? Will episode 6 be the continuation, or will it be season 2? We are getting a second season of this. Are we gonna have to wait till next season to see where this goes? I don't know. But it is like that ending to me. The ending made the episode was fun, but that ending, man, a zombie Thanos with an Infinity Gauntlet and his entire army now zombified.
Yeah.
Outside of Wakanda, the only place left in the world that's got normal.
But I mean, are they still susceptible to the Mind Stone? I mean, if that's the case, then all he has to do is just, you know, hold Thanos at the most and remove the gauntlet.
Who do you think is going to use the Mind Stone?
Well, I think the idea was that there was technology needed to broadcast the particular code that's in the Mind Stone to cure. That's what Vision was trying to do, was that humans don't have the technology to broadcast what I need broadcasted to cure everybody. Wakanda does.
Right.
But someone's still got to have it. That's what I'm saying. You can't, I don't think it would be as cool if you just left the Mind Stone attached to some machine in Wakanda and then you have Thanos trying to get to that physical point. I think it would be way more interesting if someone was holding on to it in some way, if there was some gauntlet or headpiece or whatever with the technology that gives them the ability to broadcast. You know,
I think it had to do with energy. It had to do with energy, with Vision. He was able to connect with that stone and transmit that signal with the stone to keep the zombies back, because they weren't even going through the fence at all. They had a total opening and they weren't coming. So he was able, when he was connected with the stone, to stop them. And then when Peter Parker was holding the stone, it wouldn't work because he didn't have the right frequency in his own body. So that would be like a quantum physics thing at that point.
So it's going to require some type of machine, because that's what Vision is basically, to do it. But you can treat it like they did in the movie. Remember when Vision was inside the thing? They were trying to keep everybody out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
They put the Mind Stone free to destroy it.
Right.
You can do that same type of thing where you have the machine inside trying to, okay, we're trying, you know, Shiri's busy trying to get this it set up to where they can blast this signal. But the whole time they're having to fight off this zombie horde. So you can still have what is essentially the Infinity War climax scene, just with a different set of materials. One thing we didn't talk about, but I want to jump in the comments real quick. Future brings up a point. Where was Zola? Because they were at Camp Lehi. But if you remember, in Winter Soldier, Zola was in that room with all the terabytes of memory, but they shot a missile and blew it up, so he knew he was done. So Zola was dead after Winter Soldier, which this takes place technically after Winter Soldier. So Zola gone. He had dead and erased. Something we have not mentioned, and that's the biggest hero of now two episodes. Crazy enough. The biggest hero of two episodes. The Cloak of Levitation, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes.
That was my favorite.
The cape was amazing.
That was my favorite, yeah.
I really loved that moment where Peter felt that he wasn't ready for it. That was cool
seeing him wear it, yeah.
I will say that I think that Spider-Man in this episode was the best written character of the series thus far.
Yeah, agreed.
It nailed him as a 15 to 16 year old. Like by Infinity War, he was only 15. Nailed him as a 15 year old kid with that innocent optimism. Hiding
that
his
everlasting
terror.
Optimism.
Yeah, but it's hype. You can tell there's a terror behind it that he's just trying to like. I got to keep a smile on my face. Da da da. And then as people started to fall left and right, it got to him. It reminds me of the scene from Homecoming, which to me is the greatest Spider-Man scene out of any movie ever, any cartoon ever. The scene where the Vulture drops the building on him.
And he
goes from a hero to being terrified.
Yeah.
And it was just like, in that moment, I'm like, this is the greatest scene for a Spider-Man ever. So, but the cape has been amazing in the last two episodes.
Because I want to go back to that, because in the Mouth of Babes, he is so strong and he's stepping into his own, and you see it on everybody else's face. Everything that he said, even though they had way more experience than he does, what he says really hits home and helps everybody else. That was a really powerful scene, I thought.
It was, absolutely. It's amazing. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you've got, one, this Spider-Man, this character was the best written in the series thus far. By far for me. But you've also created a lovable, like, Jimmy Woo-level character in the cape. The cape is created, like, it already had a bit of personality from the Doctor Strange movie and from other things. But now, like, it's a full-on Hedwig, man. Like, it's a character that it was upset to see him disintegrated in the last episode. If for some reason he gets torn to shreds again, it's going to be very upsetting. It's a character we're all going to love.
Right.
It's like Wally. He's not even real. You know, but, you know, Wally is one of the most emotional films out there on love.
Yes.
What a great film that is. And yet there's, you know, it's about two robots. So, as we wrap this up,
I'm so excited to play this meme game.
Game is gonna be fun.
He's so funny.
Before we jump into the meme game, as we've all said, this was a fun episode. This was probably the bloodiest thing I've ever seen on Disney. Although, if you notice, the blood was more black than it was red, which is a key factor. But anyways, who here has seen Shang-Chi?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Lily hasn't seen it. Q hasn't seen it. Okay, so we won't talk about it this week. Okay. You guys have homework. I will just say though, damn, what a film. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit nothing. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, can I just say, so Lily, Q, have you guys seen Jumanji, the second one? What's the second one called, Vince?
The third one or the second new one?
I'm not talking about the original with Robin Williams.
Okay, so
like the one with The Rock and Kevin Hart, like the second one of that.
I think it was Welcome to the Jungle.
Did you see that? The second one?
I haven't seen it yet.
Did you see like the woman that's supposed to be like the picklock chick? Like that was her skill. Like when she went like this, she was supposed to be the main guy. What was his name? The one that they were looking for the whole time. Anyway, she's in this movie and she's amazing.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I've heard great things from my friends.
I haven't seen the second one. I haven't seen the second Jumanji film.
Oh, well, she's in that movie. Yeah, that's really cool.
Michelle Yeoh is in it. She's absolutely amazing in everything she does. Remember how, Denise, I kind of mentioned this before. There was a very Jackie Chan feel to the trailer.
Yeah, I found out why.
Now, this isn't a spoiler, but there is a very touching tribute at the end of the film that says, in loving memory of Brad Allen. Brad Allen was the head stunt coordinator and fight coordinator for the film. Nice. I found out that Brad Allen is from the Jackie Chan Stunt Academy. He's one of my favorite villains in Jackie Chan films. He's normally in a Jackie Chan film. He always fights these like gigantic Russians because he's such a short guy. So it's like there's always that juxtaposition. But some of his best fight scenes have been against who turned out to be Brad Allen. So it's very sad that he did pass away. I think he was 56, was years old, something like that. But this was his last film. He was the lead stunt coordinator, fight coordinator for this. That's the reason it had a Jackie Chan feel to it is because of Brad Allen. So rest in peace, Brad. Great guy.
Also, RIP. Was this the last voiceover from
Chadwick Boseman?
No.
We're going to get more episodes. We're going to get more episodes with him in it.
Which one's supposed to be the last one?
I don't know yet.
Hand on my heart.
I don't know yet, but I do know we're going to get like a new version of the Avengers with T'Challa Star-Lord leading them. There will be more episodes, at least one more with him in it. I'll keep you guys up to date on that. Denise, awesome. I know you want to play this meme game, but you got to log into the game first.
Oh, yeah, that would probably be on Twitch.
Go to your email. I sent you the link there. So while you're doing that, you got to copy and paste it because I couldn't do a hot link this time.
Okay.
So while she's doing that and getting everybody in, is Joey playing as well?
Yeah, let him know.
So you'll have to let him know as well. Rochelle's already in. Lily's already in. Q's already in. I, of course, am in because I am the MC of the game. And if I wasn't in, then nobody would be in. That's because I'm the most important person here. Not really. But so
while we're waiting on them, how do you think we would have reacted to this episode if it was pre-pandemic, like before everything hit?
I don't think that plays a role at all.
I don't think
so.
That's
just me.
I get where you're coming from because obviously the zombie would be a zombie pandemic. And a lot of people are like, is that what's going on?
Do you feel like it was a little too soon, maybe, to go that route?
I don't think so at all.
I don't either. But is that
we talked about like bee zombies? There was bee zombies like a year before.
Yeah, we had murder hornets and stuff.
So. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm such a germaphobe, but the whole time I was thinking of like saliva transmission. You know, that's why. That's why I asked.
Is it too ick factor?
Yeah, the spreading of a disease, a condition, something, and that's where I was for the first half of the episode. I was just caught up in the, okay, how does this work factor? Again, suspension of disbelief not being there,
ladies and gentlemen, we now know why Lily has a rubber on her keyboard.
Yeah.
I have it. Ew.
I sanitize my stuff frequently, okay? Not trying to get
gentlemen, you heard it here first. She sanitizes her thing often.
I said stuff, not thing. I said stuff.
And Denise is not muted.
Have him do something on his phone. I don't know. Have him watch an episode.
Denise, I muted your audio while you're taking care of that business.
So I'd say it's a possibility we might see zombies in other universes because it happened in the comics. It was
the Ultimates showed up there.
Yeah, they showed up in the Ultimates and they crossed over with other, you know, outside of comic, you know, zombie storylines. And funny enough, this that was written the first series of Marvel Zombies.
Denise, you can now Robert unmute your Zoom.
Unmute. It was written by Robert Kirkman, who did
The Walking Dead.
So
it's a button on your screen on Zoom to unmute. Top right corner of your own window.
Nope,
not your camera one. Not your camera one.
We are, in fact, professionals. Just wanted to reinforce that.
This is going so well. Now I've got your audio back.
I did it on purpose. Oh. Just so you know, sorry. It was like too much Wi-Fi. Too much Wi-Fi here. It was being kind of pixelated.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so is everybody logged into the game?
Yeah, let me open my phone again.
Not yet. We're getting there. Okay.
Okay.
So while everybody's getting logged in, so if you guys remember last week, we played the online version of Cards Against Humanity. This week we are doing kind of the same thing, except for instead of a judging card, a card with a statement on it that you have to fill in the blank. Excuse me. We're going to have memes. So you're going to have to caption a meme. So it's going to be lots and lots of fun. So I'm excited
all
about that.
Bad memes.
It'll be a good time. Just waiting for everybody to log in. There's a lot going on with the Marvel Zombies. Like I said, I really do feel we're going to get another episode of this because it was just left way too wide open. And the Watcher, like at the end of every episode, typically says something kind of like, you know, profound. He didn't say anything. So
did he not have a moment that was alluding to their demise again?
He just basically said that a cliffhanger. Like he basically said that.
Okay.
Like there was no profound statement about the consequences of your actions, like every other episode. So that was, I do think we're going to get another episode. I don't know if we're going to get it next week. I mean, I kind of hope so. I don't want to wait a whole other season to see where this goes, especially since there does seem to be kind of a through thread. Like even though they're all separate universes, there is a through thread. That's hard to say. Through thread.
Cagliostro.
Yeah, Cagliostro. So I do think that is a thing. We should be seeing it very soon, hopefully. Yeah, he had a little voiceover during that scene, but like it wasn't that normally profound statement of like dealing with your consequences or whatever. It was more like basically he was like, they think they're okay, but are they really okay? So it was more of a, like I said, a very open-ended statement, a very open-ended thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we had another episode with something else from a different universe and events happening in that one to where we have a character or two coming into the zombie universe. That would be exciting. Yeah. I'm interested to see how these episodes will be unified, if at all.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is going to be a good one when they do finally show it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out the podcast portion of our podcast. However, when we ended up playing the game, we had so much fun that we played two rounds of it that took us an hour and a half. So instead of making you guys watch an over 2 hour long podcast, we've got the podcast for episode one, and we've got the game as episode two. So sorry for the abrupt ending there, but that's the whole reason why. So please like and subscribe, hit that notification bell, keep an eye out, because in just a few minutes we will have episode two of episode 13, part two at least, with our game that is quite hilarious. And in fact, we almost lost one of our guests due to couldn't breathe. She was laughing so hard. So make sure you check it out. It'll be coming out in just a few minutes. So keep an eye out.